standing right here just a few months ago, there was a little, 13-year-old boy. Is that what he was, honey? A 13-year-old boy which was sitting right over here. No, he was sitting right there. His mother and him and his little sister were sitting right there. And when at the end of the healing school, they came up and I said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "My son here, his eyes will not focus. He can't see. The retina's never developed in the back of his eyes." I always ask a simple question. He's the firstborn, naturally, yes. And he's a boy. Yes, okay. I said, let me ask you this question. So many people break this rule. How much sex did God say you can have before you get married? What's the word say? How much? Then why don't we believe that? So why does everybody want to have sex before they get married? I mean, almost everybody. I don't care who you are. Young people want to have sex before they get married. So I said, "Did y'all have sex before you got married?" "Yes." I said, "Do you know that's a sin?" "Yes." She said, "We've been listening to your CDs for about 6 months. So we know that's a sin." I said, "Have you repented of that sin?" "Yes, we have both repented for that sin." I said, "Okay, if you repented, does God forgive you?" Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I'm so grateful to God for His mercy. So anyway, I said, "Okay, now then that you have both repented," I said, "you were born under a curse. Now then, one of the curses in that list of curses in that Deuteronomy 28 is blindness. Blindness. You know, and so that's the curse the little boy had been struck with because of mother and dad sinned. 28. In fact, you might just throw that up for today since you're right there. Just put that next one there, verse 28. That one you notice said, "The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt." But verse 28, let's see what 28:28 says. It says, "The Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." Now, again, who's it say he's going to do that to you?
The Lord.
Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it, Joseph? And it's in capital letters, isn't it? The Lord will smite you. Now, what is it we don't understand when people say, you know, God doesn't do this. There's no sickness in heaven. There may not be none in heaven, but He sure knows how to afflict you on earth with it. You know, sickness comes from the Lord. He's the one that done it. I mean, it's always been that way in the Scripture. So anyway, I told the mother, I said, after y'all are under a curse, I said, so now then that you have repented, there is a wonderful promise in Galatians 3:13-14. And I want you to see this. In other words, after the sin has been repented of, this is what's available in Galatians 3:13. Look at this. Christ, what does the word "hath" mean? He already has done it. That's what "hath" means. Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So how do you receive everything from God?
Faith.
By faith. You believe it. It's written. You believe it. I said, okay, now that you and your husband have repented for your sin, I said, Jesus has redeemed this boy from the curse. In other words, redeem means He's paid the price for it. It's already paid for by the Savior. So I said, I now rebuke the spirits that have attacked his eyes from birth. I command those spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. Now then, as sons and daughters of God, how much power do we have over the devil? Isn't that good news? We have all power. Now, as long as the devil has no legal claim to you, you can kick him out. Now, if you got a sin in your life and he has legal claim to you, you're going to have trouble getting him out. Or you might eventually get him out with enough faith. But when they walk out the door, if the sin's there, he's coming back. Ain't no problem. You know, you can't get rid of him. If he knows he's got legal right to you, hey, he's going to beat up on you every day of your life. That's what his job is. That's what God made him for. And he does a good job. So anyway, I claimed those promises, rebuked the Spirit, commanded the Spirit to leave. Then I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to restore the little retinas in the little boy's eyes. And then I said, thank you, Father, for doing it in Jesus' name. And guess what happened? Just like that. Just like that. The little boy standing right here looking up there and he says, Mama, I can see all them words on the board. They just came into clear focus. Now, is that what you call a supernatural miracle? That's what, isn't that the way we love to see God do things? I mean, He did that for us right here that day. That little boy could see. I said, you couldn't see those words before, son? He said, no, I could never focus on words. But he said, those words came into perfect, clear, sharp focus the minute you said, thank you, Jesus. Now, who was standing right here? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is standing right here right now? The Lord Jesus. He's right here. Because just like I asked a guy one day, y'all come on in. Come on in. Find you a seat. Yeah, come on in. Praise the Lord. I said, that's just like a young man. We was getting ready for a healing school. And I said, you know, I wonder if Jesus is going to be here today. I said this to this boy. He turned around and looked at me and said, I guarantee he's going to be here. I said, how do you know? He said, because I brought him with me. I was testing this boy, but this boy knew who he was. Amen. He knew the King was in him. Amen. Now, is that true for every one of us that are born-again believers? Yes. How do we know Jesus is going to be here? Because who brought him? I did. You did. We all brought him. He's in us. And he's right there. And he's alive and real. And he shows up to do great and awesome things. And we're so grateful every time he does something like this, especially for one of his little children. You know, that little 13-year-old boy. I was so grateful to the King that day. That little boy went home. 13 years he's not been able to see clear. He went home seeing. And little Jenna, 8 years she'd been sick and afflicted. And wow. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are 45 minutes into a healing school and we just told the first story. Father, I praise you and thank you for what you do for us. I thank you for this healing school we have once a month. I thank you for all the people we've seen you heal through this little ministry that you've given to us. Now, Father, if we go through your word and show people what make them sick from the word and show them what they have to do to get rid of that and then show them the promises under the new covenant, especially how we can get healed. Healing belongs to all of us under the new covenant. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for keeping us well. Thank you, Father, for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. I want you to see something here. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 20. For this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? 13 and 14. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near unto you. It is in your mouth. Isn't that something? It's in your mouth and in your heart that you mayest do it. Now, this is where it's at, in your mouth and in your heart. When you get the Word of God in your heart, where's it going to come out? Your mouth. When it comes out of your mouth, it will produce the results that you're looking for. When you get rid of sin, and that's the secret, that is the big secret, is getting rid of your sin. Now, just like whenever the disciples asked the Lord, whenever that man was struck with blindness, they knew the curses. Did God tell us a while ago? We read that curse in Deuteronomy 28:28. If you do not obey me, I will strike you and your children with blindness. Was that written? Yeah, it was written. So when the young man in John 9 was born blind, the disciples knew that scripture, so they said, Lord, why is this man born blind? Isn't that amazing? Then they asked the question, because of his sin or his parents' sin? They just asked two places. Now then, first of all, they should have been a little sharper. You got to realize they were just fishermen and whatever, and tax collectors and things like that. But if the boy was born blind, could it have possibly have been his sin? I mean, stop and think about it. Could it possibly have been his sin? No. I mean, if the little child is born coming out of the womb, it couldn't have sinned, could it, young lady? No, it couldn't have been. So they shouldn't even ask that question. Why is this man born blind? Because of his sin? No. Why was he born blind? It couldn't have been because of his sin. But now, could it have been his parents? Oh, yeah. Yeah, the curse comes from the parents. In fact, when you read all that, you'll find out that the sin goes back four generations. Four generations. Unless there's a sexual sin. Now, I know that's not a problem nowhere in the world. Nobody ever has sex before they get married. Yeah, sure. Almost everybody has sex before they get married because they don't know the Word of God. But if you have sex before marriage, it puts you under a 10-generation curse. Does God obviously hate sex before marriage? And why does God hate sex so bad? I mean, who made sex? He did. That if God made sex, then he must surely want us to enjoy it, right? But only as long as we do it his way. Now he says, when a man and a woman get married, do you know under the old law, Jewish law, do you know they give that couple a year off to just stay together and stay locked up in a room together, just having sex and eating? That's all they had to do for a whole year. So God must have liked sex, huh? Is that right? Is that what the Scripture says, Lori? That's what it says. You've read the Word. I know you're a woman of faith and a woman of the Word. I know you know that. But you know, today we don't even think like that, do we? Give you a year off when you get married, just so you can be with your spouse and enjoy each other. I mean, just, wow, what a deal. Obviously, we don't do that God's way either, do we? So it's not very far from us. It's in our mouth and in our heart. So when we get the Word in our mouth and in our heart, under the new covenant, we will make sure we've confessed every sin. As we learn what sin is, we will repent of the sin, and then we'll start confessing what we want, and it will bring forth our healing. In fact, all the people that I've seen healed in my life, where did that come from? My heart and my mouth to somebody in the name of Jesus. And then what did it do? It brought Jesus on the scene. And the healer showed up just like the little 13-year-old boy, just like little Jenna out there. I mean, I don't care who we talk about. Who is the healer for all these people? Jesus.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, "The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.